This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Sandy Kearney, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 67, Free Bitcoins. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here again for another exciting episode of GamesAtWork.biz with my wonderful, fantastic overseas co-host, Michael Martin.
Blub, blub, blub. Yes, I am overseas. I could be underseas, too. I could be near seas when I'm really happy. But it's I'm in the landlocked country of Hungary.
Which is still overseas from here.
Which is still overseas. You just have to go overseas to get to the land, to get to the – anyway.
Yes, exactly.
I'm thrilled to be here with you, Michael. I'm missing the ladies.
Yes, me too.
But we will be getting them back on the show pretty soon.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, sometimes when you have no power at home, you cannot connect up to a podcast.
Isn't that what an uninterruptible power supply is supposed to do for you?
Well, I would think it probably would work for minutes, not hours. I understand somebody's been without power since 7 o'clock this morning.
Yow.
Yowza.
Well, that's not good. So hopefully that problem will be corrected very soon.
Yes. Yes.
So we were without light this morning, but that was because the light bulbs blew in the kitchen. You know those halogen long bulbs that you have to be careful that you don't touch with your fingers so you don't get your oil from your fingers on them and they go like
oh,
that.
Yeah, because they're like full of noxious gases that they want you to send to special recycling places too.
Oh, no, they're luckily not, but you know, it's just those halogens get so freaking hot that just fingerprint
will cause it to burst.
Oil will cause the little light bulbs to boil, burst through the glass and break and all that. So anyway, we had to do a little fixing today.
So, hey, I've got a quick story about that just because let's talk fun for 30 seconds. As a little kid, did you ever play lightsabers with fluorescent lights?
No, I did not.
So
this says a lot about you.
when I was in sixth grade, we were living in this one apartment complex, and there was a bin of used fluorescent, you know, those long, like 3 foot long fluorescent lights.
Yes.
There was like a whole bin of them. So there were like 20, 30 of those. And a friend and I decided to play lightsabers with them because every time you clashed, they went poof. And they had this really great popping sound, and they made lots of great noise, and it was cool. So not that we recommend this at home, and it was probably like spraying us with all kinds of bad chemicals, which explains a lot. Anyway, so you should play lightsabers, but don't do this at home. It's not safe.
Not like that. And you know, you could just use a stick and go.
No, but it's much better because when they popped, they made this really cool sound. Anyway, fun stuff. Fun stuff.
So get fun into stuff. Fun games.
Yes.
For fun and profit.
Fun and free for profit.
Well, kind of. You know, I found a really interesting link earlier this month, and it didn't come into last week's show, but I did want to talk about it here. And I put it up on Google+, and my tagline for it was, free to play can be lucrative pay with Bitcoin mining.
Yes.
And
should so that be the title of our show this week?
No, it's
too long.
Yeah. But we'll come up with something clever.
I think we have a great title.
That's what we do. So here's the basic idea. Free to play games,
yes,
have a need to pay for the people who wrote them, maintain it, provide enhancements, all that kind of good stuff. And free to play typically.
Free to pay does not mean free to make.
right. Free to play does not mean free to make. And typically, and we've covered this multiple times with multiple guests and different people about, you know, the methods and the ways of collecting money that are actually, you know, more profitable than $50 in the box, buy it at GameStop kind of games. So the concept here is really, really simple. You play the game.
Yes.
And while you're doing that, your device.
Yes.
Under the surface.
Yes.
Is doing some Bitcoin mining. So it reminds me just a smidge of the old, you know, Richard Pryor movies about, you know, if you shave just those fractions of a cent of interest and kind of combine them all together, you could, what was it, Brewster's Millions or something?
Yeah, I mean, and actually, you know, that was an early hack or an early scam, right? Just the rounding, take the penny rounding in large financial transactions and put them in an extra account over there.
Yeah, and not even the rounding, but, you know, anything that was below 0.5 that wasn't rounding up anyway. Right?
Yeah, boom. I mean, you're going to throw it away.
Sure. So why throw it away? Keep it. So while you're playing the game and the game is active, the game also has underlying this Bitcoin mining going on, and the Bitcoin mining benefits in aggregate for a very, very popular game then goes into some centralized account collecting all the money. So the game player gets a game, they're happy. The more people who play the game because the game is a good game, the developer's happy, and people can get benefit and money out of it in the same way.
Yes, it's almost like free Bitcoins.
It is almost like free Bitcoins because you're basically saying, hey, population, there you go. Be my miners for me.
Well, and, you know, the really interesting thing about this, and you made the point, you said, and your game becomes popular. The yes. Great thing about Bitcoins, there's a great episode of Security Now from a year or two ago where Steve Gibson goes through the concept and the math behind Bitcoins, and I'll make sure that we add a link in the show notes on Bitcoin from Steve Gibson. But the great thing is, it's not like if I give you a dollar for your game.
Which then, I'd like. Thank
then you.
You
have a dollar. If yes. I gave you a Bitcoin, the exchange rate right now I think is at 260.
Is it that high?
It's gone up high again. It took a bounce after the Silk Road shut down, and we ought to talk about that briefly too. But the thing is, I'm actually investing in you as a game developer because that Bitcoin's value is going to change over time. So if you accept Bitcoins through this type of mining thing and you get a Bitcoin instead of the value of the Bitcoin, you in fact are getting an investment in your game that you've developed that over time will grow in value. But as soon as you cash out, of course, then it's set, right? So it's actually a really interesting conceptual experiment here on will people except this Bitcoin bot that's running on their mobile device as something that's acceptable, especially if it, you know, doesn't have a huge impact on battery life or a huge impact on other activities going on.
Well, think about it in two ways. I've got a lot of ways to think about this, but one way I've been thinking about it is that this is a true monetization of attention. Right, we've been talking about it. This as being an attention economy.
Yep.
You can try to multitask. Some of us do it more successfully than others. Most of us don't do it nearly as successfully as we'd like to. But it's a monetization of attention. So if you're paying attention to something, the thing that it's delivering to you, the value that's capturing your attention, should in some way be able to gain from that activity, whether it's entertainment, whether it's productivity, what have you. So you could apply this concept to practically anything.
Yeah, and that's why I really don't have a problem with a game that is ad-supported that periodically puts up an ad in a way that doesn't destroy the gameplay, right? Because I mean, it's a monetization. My attention is my eyeballs on that screen during playing the game. And if they pop up an ad and I have the opportunity to say, okay, and click it away, you know, that's okay. It is an appropriate monetization of the effort.
Right, right, right. But this is almost a truer way of getting dollars directly from it because the amount of time that you spend playing the game or using the service. Now, we got to think about this, right? The service could be something like, let's think really big, transportation, right? So you might
Bitcoin mining while you're driving because more times your tires spin, the more energy being generated that's being used to run against the calculation to figure out the value to create the coin.
You're in the car anyway. So maybe you're subsidizing the cost of your car by the amount of usage in the car, the computers in the car. You're using unused cycles of those computers to do Bitcoin mining.
No. I'm sorry. Okay. So yes, conceptually, I agree with you. But, and this is, you know, Pee-wee's big but.
Is it a big old but?
It's a big old but. But I would not accept anything like this in what are called safety critical systems.
Okay.
Right? Because okay. I can imagine, you know, maybe it's doing that Bitcoin mining and it's humming along fine, and suddenly you've got a jam on your brakes, and your brakes are going, and that split, yes, would potentially cause a safety critical issue. But if you put it in the cell phone, I mean, let's face it, as much as we might die without our cell phones, it's not a safety critical device.
No, it isn't. And you know, take your car again, for example. Think about how many computers there are in a car. Yes, many of them are safety related, but you know, you've got computers that are doing climate control. You've got computers that are doing radio. You've got a variety of things that you know, you could think about what's the power and the elements around them. Okay, so maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but you know, if we scale back a little bit, you know, why not have a device that has a fairly decent compute facility to it, like, oh, I don't know, PlayStation 4, Xbox One.
Well, you
can give away the camera and sell the film, and your camera is generating Bitcoins because it's anytime it's on, it could actually be generating Bitcoins back for the provider of that service that.
Well, I just want to link back because I want to close out and put a huge butt and brackets and belts and suspenders and maybe a full bunny suit on this. Do not Bitcoin mine with your car. There's a great video, and I'll put it in the show notes, that I watched last week that talks about, you know, once you get into the vehicle.
Yes.
Today's vehicles. And this was a 2011 video at a hacker conference. Once you got into any aspect of the vehicle, you could get to any system in the vehicle. The idea of air gap or completely isolated systems just did not exist. And so they showed an example of how they could make a song in a WMA file, mm-hmm. put it on a CD, throw it in the car, and root the car and get to any system in the vehicle at that point.
You don't even have to throw it on a CD. That song could get played on the radio, or that song could be played from a cell phone, or it could be played from somebody else's car that pulls up next to you.
This one was very specific. The hack was specific because in that vehicle, and we won't mention the name of the manufacturer, but you like them. The car radio third-party provider allowed you to do updates to the vehicle software based off of a bootable CD in the CD player. And so basically you could root
Quite air gap. That requires a physical connection.
They showed multiple other ways of doing this. But the thing is, they gave like five different attack vectors on this vehicle. That one was the one that you could play the song in your computer, nothing happens. But as soon as it got into the stereo system, boom, it rooted the car. And got access to the brakes, got access to the control panels, got access to everything.
All I have to say to that is, ooh-wee-oo.
The funny thing is, one of the guys in the audience at the talk, and I will put the link in the show notes, was like, could you play the song right now? And I can imagine him sitting there going, okay, record. Anyway, so
I'm just again, I'm just putting, I would use for that, you know, because
I would probably use Nine Inch Nails, Head Like a Hole.
I was thinking more afternoon delight.
That would do it too, right?
Just because you remember the scene in the movie where they lock everybody in the room and they use a club to close the doors, and they put that on auto repeat.
Star rockets in flight. Ah, kill him, kill him. Anyway. So we were jumping away from vehicles into the PS4 and the Microsoft Xbox One. And as you remember, and we've talked about this on the show before, the whole idea of ray tracing is one of my measures of compute power.
Yes.
And in 2007, we used to show a demo in the group that I was working with of networked PS3s doing 60 frames per second complex video ray tracing.
This was at the Masters, wasn't it?
It was at the Masters and at CES. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was just phenomenal. So imagine the horsepower in the PS4 or the Xbox One as a Bitcoin mining device.
Yeah, and what if that could subsidize the price of the device? So
suddenly Microsoft and Sony start Bitcoin mining?
Why not? Who might say, look, I'll take it. You're going to charge me, I don't know, 40% less for the hardware, provided that this is on. It's only going to run when you're playing a game. Your performance degradation on the game might be 5 or 10 or 12 or whatever percent. You might get takers for that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. This week's South Park episode was all about the PS4 and the Xbox One and Black Friday.
And I can only imagine what hijinks that might go there.
Well, they did a great tie-in to Game of Thrones. But anyway, so I think that's an interesting idea. And I guess the question becomes, and this is why it's so important, and we'll put the link in the show notes for people to listen to the Bitcoin mining episode on Security Now. Because when you look at the power that it takes to mine a Bitcoin, it is actually not cost effective. Now, of course, it is a mining operation, and you can luck into very quickly getting a coin. Matter of fact, the Steve Gibson, when he did it, like the first couple of weeks, like mined 50 coins.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. Algorithms were pretty easy.
Yes, right? And so now it's much harder, and there are a finite number of them. And so, the cost to mine one incremental Bitcoin distributed over 10,000 people is okay, but if you are expecting to mine the coin yourself on your PS4, it may not be cost effective, the amount of energy it takes to mine it. And so that's why I like your idea of distributed bots as a known factor of the value of the game or the device. And that's got to be the key.
It's not like a zombie army.
Right.
Unless your game is about zombies, in which case it could be a zombie army.
But it should be well known in advance. Hey, the way we're going to monetize our game is we will put in this thing that burns, incremental tiny amount of your CPU to mine a Bitcoin. And I'm wondering, given the idea that this is actually tied in as a plug-in to the Unity platform.
Right.
Which is a very, very popular gaming platform for not just mobile devices, but also for desktop games. Would a Apple App Store, and I'll just pick on Apple because they're known to be the most restrictive, allow an app to be published on the App Store with this enabled?
Well, I would say why not, provided that it's known up front. I mean, you're on the point that I was looking to bring into the conversation too. Just like we said on other shows past with Phaedra, where it's important to disclose, what's the beneficiary, of various crowdsourcing, crowdfunding kind of activities. I would be dismayed to learn that I had my CPU cycles stolen from me, unless I knew that this was, powered by Bitcoin mining.
Yeah, right. I just know that Apple has been very vocal about, you know, apps that impact the experience of the device, right? And with the latest changes in iOS 7 and the M7 chip, you could just see that this Bitcoin mining could be offloaded to the M7 as an example.
Sure. It just like various processes are offloaded to the graphics sub-processing cards on computers too.
Yeah, absolutely. The GPU, which are actually more powerful than the CPUs many times for a restrictive set of calculations.
Yes, yes. So to me, I don't know. I mean, there should be a known element here. You can imagine that if somebody were really creative, they might say, well, I want to play this game, but I don't want to have, you know, my gameplay or my computer suffer a hit. Or maybe there's just somebody's like, I want it. I want it the low or free price, but I don't want to deal with that. And they'll look to find a way around it. And, you know, to me, that seems a little strange, too, because the way that everybody wins in this endeavor is for the product designers and owning organizations, companies, individuals, what have you, are benefiting, and the individuals taking advantage of what's been provided are benefiting, you know, through their own entertainment and use and productivity that they're gaining from the asset. So I could see where there could be some circumvention done. That wouldn't surprise me. But to me, this is a very interesting financial model that is enabled. And it just struck me, too, that we're this far into the show. And there could be people out there who go, I have no idea what a Bitcoin is, you know, or what this really means. So, you know, maybe it's worth us saying a few words quickly about Bitcoin. So,
yep.
Bitcoins are virtual currencies, right? So you don't hold a Bitcoin in your hand. You don't get, you know, a Bitcoin out of an ATM, although there are some that produce something approaching that. They are numbers, and these numbers are generated through algorithms in a highly secure manner. There's a finite number of Bitcoins to be discovered, hence this mining, going through the mathematical algorithms to discover the Bitcoins along the way. And there's value associated with them because they can be converted into hard dollars. And Bitcoins provide the added advantage that they are like cash on the internet because they are long strings of numbers, but they do not have an association with a credit card or bank account or other things like that. So they can be used like cash for private transactions.
Well, the other key thing is a coin is infinitely dividable, right?
Yes,
so since there are a finite number of coins ever, period, the way they're defined, there will only be X number of Bitcoins. I think it's like 21 million or mm-hmm. something like that. And the value of them is truly determined by the presence of the number of coins and the value people subscribe to them, just like a regular currency. So it's infinitely floating, and it's infinitely subdividable, with the idea of being, for lack of a better term, inflation-proof.
Which I don't buy at all.
That's why I say there's a 2-hour episode we're going to link to that explains this at a fine and just such a detail that you'll go, wow. And the idea being that you get value out of them based on the creation of them and the limit of them and the fact that everybody agrees that they are valuable. Okay, and I just saw a link come across earlier today on a company that's trying to create a combined credit card thing, not quite a Bitcoin, but the idea that you have one card that all your cards are on. So instead of being tied to your phone, it would physically be a card. So I've thrown that in the show, show
a
links
card
too.
Card of cards.
Yeah. So if you think about Apple has their Passbook and Google has Google Wallet and Square has Square Wallet or whatever they call it now.
Yeah, square me, baby.
But the idea here is from a Bitcoin perspective, these, as you say, are a virtual currency. They're not tied to a government. They're not tied to a specific country. And the idea being that and this is the thing I don't quite understand, right? Getting us to digital currency, in theory, should increase the trackability of purchases. But the way Bitcoin is architected, supposedly, it is less trackable than, say, you using your American Express or your Visa or your MasterCard or some other credit card online, which is why, reference back to the beginning of the show, the Silk Road reference of the site that was using it to allow people to purchase illicit drugs over the internet. And they only accepted Bitcoin. So there's a security aspect that's built in. And that's the part that I don't fully grok yet. I do conceptually, but the anonymity I don't understand yet.
Yeah, I've not delved heavily in. I mean, I actually did some few months ago take a look at what it would take to actually mine Bitcoins, because one of the things I was thinking is, you know, I've got computers in my house that are on almost all the time. It's like, well, couldn't I be getting them to work, those lazy computers?
I actually have a Bitcoin account, and I tried mining for about 6 months back in 2008, 2009 when it first came out.
Yeah.
And I got nowhere. the current exchange rate says, and I'll throw a link in there, it's around, like I said, 240, 260, with the thought that it's going to hit 400 or 500 very soon, which would make Bitcoin a $5 billion market.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. So the current thought is it will hit 500 across all major exchanges by the end of this month. Wow.
Amazing.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, so I think we've covered a lot of landscape here with this particular discussion. You know, to me, this is a very interesting mechanism to allow for large crowds, large distributed compute to provide benefits. So if you create a gangbuster, you know, kind of game, or service, or even, you know, some kind of physical asset, this could be a mechanism to get some additional financial compensation out of it.
Yeah, and I do think it really is an interesting monetization approach that rewards the developers of the game. And as you say, to kind of wrap it all back to the beginning, the value you get in a game is the enjoyment you get playing it and some other stuff. And as a developer, if people enjoy your game more, they're spending more time in it, and you should be rewarded for developing that. And so there's almost a one-for-one correlation there between the value you're getting out of the game and the revenue you potentially get back. The only uncertainty is it is a mining exercise. And you could have, you know, can you imagine Angry Birds, at one point the number one grossing, most deployed app on the App Store, only getting 3 Bitcoins because of the way the mining is happening. Is that worth it? And the interesting thing will be to see, once this comes out of beta, because it's currently in beta, this plugin, what the value is, especially since as a developer, it looks like the price of the plugin is going to be about $80. Mm-hmm. And so is that $80 for all your games, or is it $80 per game?
Oh, I'd imagine it has to be on a per game basis. I mean, if it was one license per developer and that developer sold, you know, umpteen thousand copies of their game. I don't know. I hadn't looked at it in that detail. I mean, it's got to be proved out, but just very, very, very clever.
Yeah. I just like you said, I think this is pretty
Brewster's
cool.
Bitcoins.
and I think we do have a title, and the title I'm going to use for the show is Free Bitcoins, because you know what? We need some SEO love.
How about free Bitcoins tomorrow?
too funny. Well, I know we're pretty much at time. Anything exciting going on in the next week for you?
Oh, you know, just a lots of stuff. We're going to have actually a nice dinner party tonight, so that's what I'm focused on next. And we've got some fantastic Hungarian wine and some lovely chicken paprikash that's simmering. I can smell it now. So
and Phaedra couldn't get you to the Riviera or wherever it was.
It was Cannes.
Cannes, yes.
Home of the famous film festival, as opposed to Canada.
Well, I recognized when I was editing the show. I was like, "You were saying can, not Canada." too funny.
And there's chances that I might be hither and yon, Germany, Netherlands, U.S. Sweet. There's a bunch of things brewing. So excellent. I wish I could say where I'm going to be when. The only thing I can say is that it looks like I'm getting an invitation to present next year at CeBIT in Hanover.
Oh,
so,
Tom.
Very excited about that.
Yep. Well, I'm hoping that my little excitement that's going to happen on Monday is a full success. I'll be at the Maven mission launch at Cape Canaveral, and I am so stoked and excited by this. I'm really looking forward to it.
That's going to be great. I can't wait to see the pictures that you take.
Oh, yeah. So, everybody, have a great rest of your day, evening, morning, whatever it is when you're listening to this show. And don't forget to drop us a note. We're setting up a new YouTube channel and potentially looking at seeing if we can't start doing some video recordings of the podcast and making those available instead of audio. We shall see.
Well, in addition to, I would say, because, you know, we do have Facebook for radio, so.
No. We're not doing two edits.
So you would think we go video only?
Yes!
Video only?
For some episodes. Not every episode.
Oh.
It'll be in the stream. Some will be video, some will be audio. Look, as you know, editing this show is not something that just magically happens.
No, it isn't.
And until we have, you know, that...
A senior web lackey.
A senior web lackey and expert show editor who can do it for the massive amounts of money that we're offering... same amount that we pay all our co-hosts.
We can hook up their computer with a Bitcoin mining, and they'll be entitled to
every Bitcoin they make. So catch us on YouTube, catch us on Facebook, catch us on our website at gamesatwork.biz, and we'll see you soon.
See ya.
Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.